Well, our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth 2,000 years ago to live as a human being. This was not some academic experiment. Jesus had, as a human, real emotions. And he went through a life and death struggle on this earth for us. The importance of what took place is all too easy for us to discount. He spent 3.5 years teaching his disciples, healing the people around him, and dealing with the religious leaders of the day. But everything really came to a head during the last week of his life. Over 1/4 of the Gospels deal with the last week of his life. A large portion of that deals with the final night he spent with his disciples. I'd like to look at that evening, the meaning it has for us today. Jesus knew what was going to happen before it took place. He knew that he would be arrested, tried, and crucified. Those thoughts alone would be sobering for anyone. But Jesus was also aware, or also well acquainted with the scriptures and the sacrificial system. For years, he had observed the sacrifices being offered at the temple. He knew deep inside of him that those sacrifices represented the sacrifice he would be making. The blood he saw poured out on the altar represented his blood. Many times he had celebrated and eaten the Passover with his family and disciples, and he knew that he was going to be killed as the ultimate Passover sacrifice in fulfillment of what it pictured. So the night before, he shares a very special and emotional meal with his disciples. I'd like you to turn with me first to John 15. In John 15, we have a very well-known passage, portions of which I'd like to particularly highlight. John 15, we'll start in verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And of course, that's what he would be doing within just a few short hours. Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In chapter 17, for lack of time, I can't read much of this, but the entire section here, much of which we will read on that night ourselves, will deals with the tremendous love that Jesus had for his disciples and for us. And that's what I'd like to point out here. And in John 17 and verse 9, it says, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." These disciples were very special to him. Yes, the entire world is special to God, but especially these disciples at this time. Verse 10, "And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." And then in verse 20, it says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's referring directly to us. Jesus had great concern and compassion, not only for the men he had spent several years with, but for us as well. In Luke 22, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." A similar passage in Matthew 26:29 says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Continuing here in verse 19 says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Jesus wanted us and his disciples here to remember him, to remember what he went through, to remember that he was returning to the Father, and that he would not be drinking this again until he comes in his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So once again, we're told this is something that we do in remembrance of Jesus. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As most of you know, for decades, there has been a controversy among those in the church as to whether or not the original Old Testament Passover was observed at the beginning or end of the 14th of Nisan. I feel the church has, to some extent, aggravated this controversy by stating that all Jesus changed was the meaning of the symbols. Many are so convinced that what we keep that night is the Old Testament Passover in a new manner that if they come to see the Old Testament Passover was not kept at the beginning of the day, they feel an obligation to change the day of this memorial service as well. As many of you know, I am among those who are convinced that Jesus was slain at the precise time God has always set for the killing of the Passover lambs, on the afternoon of the 14th. I do not view our memorial service as a continuation of the Old Testament Passover, but rather a New Testament observance established by Jesus specifically in remembrance of him and his suffering and death for us. If we see this observance in this light, then whether or not we are also reliving the Old Testament Passover in some fashion is not the important issue. Most of you, of course, are among those who also consider this memorial service to be a continuation of the Old Testament Passover. A few of you may even reflect on that idea that night. But for all of us, the primary focus will be on the events of that night in Jesus' life and what he did for us. And that is as it should be. The foot washing service is a type in some ways of a rebaptism for us. Jesus said that he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. We have all sinned this past year. Hopefully, we have already sought and received forgiveness from God for those sins. We hope that we are all clean in the sense that Jesus meant it, and not like Judas. But the foot washing service is a type of symbolic washing away of these sins we have accumulated in our Christian walk in this world. And similar to the way the high priest would go through certain sacrifices before the atonement, we in some ways go through a certain ritual prior to the Passover, washing away our sins. It is also significant that we do this for one another. We are to help one another throughout the year in staying close to God, encouraging one another to do good works. We are also to submit to one another, help each other, and serve one another in a spirit of humility, as a servant washing the feet of an honored guest. After we were baptized, we had hands laid on us for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. In a similar manner, after the foot washing, we will share the bread and wine, as Jesus told us to do in remembrance of him. This is symbolic of Jesus sending the Comforter to us, to enable him to live his life in us. Finally, we conclude with readings from the accounts of that night as we reflect in great love and humility over what Jesus went through so that we could be a part of his family. Jesus is looking forward in great anticipation to the day that he will drink from the cup with us again in his kingdom, probably at his wedding supper. He longs for that day when he can tell us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He left us with this annual reminder of his love for us and what he expects of those he has called to be the first fruits of his kingdom. Let's not disappoint him.